did. What do you think of doing a little show and tell?
Okay. I thought what I'd do now is I'd just do a quick desktop share, which is going to work beautifully. I just know
Oh,
that.
yes, live television. Don't worry, I'm not editing any of this, so if this all doesn't work, then
As if we've never had a demo fail. Hey,
it,
so
a
you
proper
mentioned
demo
that.
needs to fail, right? For at least a second.
No. A proper demo that fails means you just run the one you recorded that didn't.
There you
So,
go.
you mentioned that you picked up this and this was your idea because of a blog you saw, which was this one, which
Inspired me.
I might as well give it a punt. Ed-baker.com is my blog, mostly about IT, in fact, all about IT, and mostly about things I do in my daily life and what might help you. That's that plug over. And then this is the channel9.msdn.com, which is where you will find so many resources, it's unbelievable. And this is the Control the Uncontrolled series. There's a chap you might know there. And there are seven lab sessions here that you can go through and run. And then you can then go to TechNet Virtual Labs and run those labs. And we're going to talk about some of these things here now. The first.
Can I, sorry, Ed, I just want
Go on.
to cut you off super quickly. So yeah, all that stuff, and thank you for showing that. All perfect. We'll include all the links, all that stuff down below. So in addition to that, if you've had so much fun running the labs, Ed and friends actually put on these in-person events where you can go and meet, your close 30 to 50 to 100 your other IT people and work on these things, and also have direct access to people like Ed and the people making these solutions, and have a chance to ask those questions in our IT innovation series. There it is, good timing.
And those are the UK. We've got our own landing page. There are the UK ones. We've got another one sold out today. That's good.
Up,
We've
guys?
got eight or nine left in our financial year, and we're talking about all sorts of top stuff. Surprise, surprise, enterprise mobility, Azure and Windows Server 2016 infrastructure, and then a really cool new one with the Operations Management Suite, which I won't be showing you today, but
We'll get into it. We have plenty of time to get into all that
could
stuff.
spend a week showing you that. It's so cool. So
And
let's get with that one.
that's awesome. And the key thing to remember there is that these events, Microsoft's in a place or two, so these are kind of in a ton of places all around the
Oh,
world.
global.
So,
They're running global. Each subsidiary has to run a certain number, and they're running all over the world.
right.
Okay.
So what is this thing, Ed?
So what I was going to show you was Microsoft Intune. And because I don't have much in the way of creativity, when I created this, I created an Azure Active Directory called pretzelpalace.com just to show the difference in the way people log on to our systems, and that you can log on direct to Azure Active Directory or actually onto an on-premises server and be authenticated there. So here I've gone into Azure Active Directory and I'm going to log into my.
As he's logging in there, when he was just showing me right before, and I just love that, like that we have the ability to just customize those images. And what it reminded me of was just back in the day, like historically, it's always like for all your servers, you would name them. We had one place I worked, we had South Park characters and servers, another was superheroes. And so I feel like that, like now that you have more single-use VMs and servers, it's a lot. You don't have that fun, so I think that's kind of cool. You have that like level of fun and customizability within your experience.
Let's do an impromptu demo here then. So I've got three different examples of signing into one of our cloud services, which happens to be Office 365. If I sign in with my work credentials, I'm at home, I'm on a virtual private network. As soon as I press tab, it will understand Microsoft.com and it will say, I know that, I'm taking you to your sign-in page. And by the way, our rules say you must sign in with multi-factor authentication. I know there's a smart card, do you want to use that? Well, I'm not going to sign into my Microsoft one, but I could sign into an Office 365 account, which is another one of my domains. This actually sits in Azure, but it's the equivalent of an on-premises data center. And when I press tab here, it goes off and it uses the Active Directory Federation services. But that edbaker.co.uk address, first of all, is synchronized into Azure Active Directory. So it means that it's sending through Azure Active Directory and authenticating on-premises. So if you don't want any of your authentication done in the cloud, you can use ADFS to authenticate on-premises. And the final one is the one we did anyway. So if I go... because I've customized the home page, my users now know where they're logging in. So it's not just a gimmick. It means that in the days of phishing, if that is unique to me, nobody else is going to have that. Yeah. It would be hard to copy. I can put all sorts of terms of use and information up here if I wanted to.
Yeah,
that's my 2 minutes on Azure Active Directory. What I really want to show you is Microsoft Intune. Imagine the chap or lady I've just given a device who lives in New York also has a work phone. And the work phone, she or he can choose and buy their own. And they happen to be an Apple fan, so they go out and buy an iPhone. Great phone, not a problem. I personally would choose a Lumia 950 because I've got one and it's fantastic, especially for the Continuum. But I can choose here under policies, so I can see here the number of devices I've got, the number of people I've got, all that sort of stuff. This is an empty one at the moment. But I'm going to go to policy, and I'm going to have something called a compliance policy, which means if you don't comply with this policy, you're not getting into my environment. So it doesn't matter what device you've got, what authentication you've got. If your device doesn't comply with this policy, whether it be a phone or a desktop, you're not going to get in here. Now, Microsoft Intune can deal with Android, Samsung Knox, Mac OS X, iOS in iPad and phone, Windows 10, Windows 7, Windows... It'll manage all of these devices and take care of their specific physical hardware attributes. So if I decide every device must be encrypted, yes, that's fine. And I decide that no jailbroken devices are allowed on my network.
And that's a key thing just to cut in there. The I decide part, that it's you have the specific control, so... While some organizations, some groups may need multi-factor authentication, it may not be necessary for all. So it's a, you get what you need. And I think the other thing I do want to add there is I found like a multi-factor authentication and things like that, direct access, just in my time, Microsoft have like just improved so much where it's like before it was like such a painful experience that may or may not work. And obviously we're, you know, building improvement, but now it is like such a just kind of really straightforward and easy and almost enjoyable process when this stuff just works.
Yeah. So I can choose any of these and then set these on as I want. I can choose passwords. I can choose what length of password. And as soon as you become enrolled, if you're not compliant, it will make you compliant and make you set a password that's as strong as you want it to be. Mm. Otherwise, you won't be able to do anything on your system.
And so I think that's a key thing too. One concern that I hear a lot, and one of my personal concerns, and for people, is going to be like, all right, so now that IT, they have control of my phone. You mentioned earlier like not having Angry Birds, but that's also one concern. I know like kind of early mobile device management was a very all or nothing kind of case. So for example, if somebody loses their phone, you can run a remote wipe on that, but that means that it's going to wipe off all their personal stuff, their kids' pictures, all their personal apps, their favorites. How does this thing work? Is it the same way? Is it all or nothing, or is there some level of control?
So this user here, this Windows 10 user, has really annoyed me. So when they unlock their device, they have to use an alphanumeric password with four different types of character sets. So it would be uppercase, lowercase, numbers, and special characters.
How many characters
and the password
are there?
Must be 16 characters long.
How many character sets are there? What's the maximum we can go up to?
Four,
okay.
Four, 16, and alphanumeric.
All right. We'll have to invent some new characters, I guess.
I can even, having done that, say, actually, you're going to make mistakes with that. And I'm going to limit it to, if you make four mistakes, I'm wiping your device. And you can go from four all the way up to 11.
Mm.
So it's really configurable. I'm not limited to one device per person. I can have as many devices as I set. 20 is the standard maximum, but you can increase that if you want to. I can have a whole bunch of reports based on this. What else can I do? Obviously,
selective.
The users in here are based on an Azure Active Directory. So the same users I've got in my Office 365 subscription are in this subscription, and they're also in my Azure subscription, so I can carry out all the features and functions that are available for the Azure Active Directory on any one of these three systems. So it's really configurable and really easy as well.
Mm-hmm. And while still being able to avoid that, having selective wipes so that we're not killing off the entire device when just removing our components.
I can choose to wipe the whole thing. I can choose to, when I retire the device, I can do a selective wipe. I can wipe the whole thing, or I can do no wipe at all. It's my choice.
That's excellent. And obviously we're not talking about Azure AD here, but obviously Active Directory, that's a, you know, known, loved, very common thing. Even I have used Active Directory. So how does that relate? People have their traditional on-premises Active Directory. How does that whole thing factor into this?
Okay, let me just sign into my Azure AD and I'll show you.
All right.
So I'm going to sign in as a slightly different user to give me maximum permissions.
Maximum permissions. See, and who doesn't want the ability to have maximum permissions? I think that's what, if nothing else, our Enterprise Mobility Suite in this new way of doing device management allows you to have even more permissions, even more power.
Global admin is what it's called. Global admin. I love the thought of being a global. I mean, even in ordinary Active Directory, you're only an enterprise admin. Here, hey, I'm a global admin.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking at the Intune changes you made. I mean, I guess the stuff that's controlling our laptops and phones, there's somebody at Microsoft who's using that same console, right?
Indeed. So I'm now in the Azure New Portal. I don't want to be in this portal for this particular demonstration. But what I do want to show you in the top right-hand corner, this portal runs on one Azure Active Directory. So it's currently running on this one. Each one I select will give me a different portal, purely because the new portal is based on a single Active Directory. So I've got here a whole bunch of them. And you can see, hey, Ed, you've got thousands of Active Directories. That's purely because I run a lot of demonstrations. And each time I create one, it's there. So I'm going to stick with Pretzel Palace. And I'm going to go to what's called the Management Portal, or the Classic Portal, or some people cruelly call it the Old Portal.
Classic Portal.
I call it the Management Portal.
All right.
And if I ever get into it, if I've clicked yes four times, come on.
And this thing that we're looking at right now is the Azure.
This is the Microsoft Azure Management Portal. And this icon here is the Active Directory. And when it's finished refreshing, let's make sure I've got the right subscriptions.
And for all this, obviously, no download required, no bits to download.
Download? What's that? Poor. No floppy disks, no Ethernet cables.
Only 90s kids downloaded software.
What did 60s kids like me do then? So the first IT job I ever had was working for Land Rover in the UK, and I was a printer operator. The printer was bigger than the room I'm in, and when you ran the job, you used punch cards and tapes. And that was a long, 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 long time ago, 1980.
Yeah. What I would say to answer your question of what 60s kids did, I think they invented all of the technology and software that us 90s kids got to download. So thank you for that.
So here's my Azure Active Directory. And immediately you can see I've got pretzelpalace.onmicrosoft.com. When you create a Microsoft online presence, you get an onmicrosoft.com domain, and that's Pretzel Palace. I've attached two other domains that I use to it. One is purely for namesake, and the other one I use for my blog. But I'm going to go into configure, and you will see, I'm going to just quickly, that's where you customize the branding. That's where I put my pretzels.
Very nice.
I can allow users to reset their passwords. I can restrict that. There's just hundreds and hundreds of settings in here.
Hundreds and hundreds of settings, but no, like I feel like I remember using just between the command prompt and regedit or
Oh, no, no, nothing. No ANSI edit, nothing like that.
It's yes or no, and it's in plain English, and
If I go to users here, and I'll just make this a little larger just in case it doesn't work properly. So here I've got all the users that sit in this Active Directory, and you can see it tells me where they come from. So I've got edbaker.co.uk users. They are actually sitting on a virtual machine up here in Azure on a domain controller. And they're connected through Azure AD Connect, and I pull them through and I can authenticate those. Anything with Microsoft Azure Active Directory here only exists in this Azure Active Directory. And the local Active Directory ones are the ones on the VMs. So I can join the directories together and synchronize them to be able to authenticate people in any way I choose. That's some of the power of it. I can do single sign-on. I mean, I could Azure AD is a 2-day chat. But I can connect to all of these things with single sign-on by letting them log on with their Azure AD credentials, and they can run any of these things. There are something like two. Let me just have a quick look, and I'll tell you how many we're currently running at.
Yeah. No, and seeing stuff there, it's like when.
2,587 applications are currently
Wow,
available
that's amazing.
for single sign-on as software as a service apps. So pretty wide ranging.
And are those available out of the box, or any configuration required?
Oh, three clicks.
Three. That deal breaker. Two or fewer is
And
my
then
limit.
I could add my own application, or I can publish an application that's inside my network that I want to be available outside. So I can give people the right to get from outside using Azure AD to get into my applications on my own premises if I want to. So as much as you want. The hardest thing with all of this is that it never stays the same. It changes daily and
By
weekly.
the time you
And
watch this
indeed,
video, completely different.
while we've been online, I got an email from the Azure team, which is this week's or this month's updates. That'll take me a couple of hours to read and digest. And then I've got to go and learn whether I need to learn any of this stuff to be able to talk about it and what's cool. It's really, really tough. This is where the tier, it's really tough being an evangelist. You need to know such a wide breadth of stuff to a degree that you can talk convincingly about it and understand it, which is what makes it really exciting. But it's never ending.
Yes, I will absolutely verify that. I don't know how you guys do it. It's incredible. It's definitely never ending.
Well, I describe it so when I said getting into IT killed my hobby, actually, it was my 2-year anniversary with Microsoft last week, and I've yet to do a day's work, I think. I think I just come to my hobby every day. It's
Yeah, I think that's an okay thing. Well, that is man, that was really cool. Honestly, like I've watched some stuff here and there, but I've never actually even really like peeled back the covers to it, and just to see how easy it is to do these things, and knowing that you don't need to uproot your entire environment and rebuild, just the potential of the things that you're capable of doing. And I think the biggest thing is sort of like you mentioned, you have so much stuff to do, so there's no worry about there not being things for IT to do in the future. There's so much awesome stuff, and I think what Ed here, like kind of the charter, the goal that our team sets out is that we want to make the future generation well, we want to make IT people, of all people, excited about the future of technology. So that's why we're talking about things that are
I'm not sure how they can fail to be excited about it, really. It's, it makes the life of the user so much easier because they just switch on, turn on, and it works. And they get what they need to do their job.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see definitely one way that they'd be failed to be excited, and that's if the message didn't get through to them very well. If perhaps it was
Oh,
confusing, or and so what we
that's my job.
and yeah, so what Ed and team sets out to do is just cut through all the noise and get down to what it really matters, how it impacts you. Obviously these are people, they've been there, they understand the pain. They want to just make the world a better place for all of IT. So, I think, Ed, unless you have any closing remarks, I think now is probably a good time to wrap this up.
The only thing I would say, which is how I close nearly all of my talks and interviews ever, is
Close.
first of all, if you're in Microsoft IT and you're interested in it at all and you don't know PowerShell, learn PowerShell. First tip of the day, learn PowerShell.
All right, I like that.
Second, if you need to do that, go to places like Microsoft Virtual Academy, channel9.msdn.com, and I normally give a tip about a book by Don Jones, but since this is going out wide and broad, I really oughtn't to say PowerShell in a month of lunches is the best resource you're going to have for learning PowerShell.
And then people can look up Don Jones if they're intrigued. That'll probably be the most place people go to. Well, that's fantastic. Again, thank you so much. For everybody who is watching, really hope you enjoyed it. Would absolutely love to hear feedback. What do you want to hear about? We get to talk to the IT people and the people behind Microsoft every day. So what's important to you? What are the challenges that you're facing, and how can we help you? So we'll be doing a lot more of this, dispelling a lot of those rumors and really trying to just boil down IT to why it matters to you. So look forward to much more, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks very much. Been good talking to you, Jeff.